On December 9th at 10:30 a.m., a farmer's wife named Abe Mayu was babysitting two-year-old Hasumi Mikio at the Oda homestead.
Oh, no.
We can't know how it happened, whether Abe Mayu had any warning or if she was just taken totally by surprise, but that giant Usuri bear came crashing through the house's thatched walls and viciously murdered Abe and Hasumi. We invite you to join us on our hunt for all things spooky.
We're here for the tricks and the treats.
I'm Elise.
And I'm Haley.
And this is Easy Bake Coven.
Hello.
Hello.
How are
Happy
you?
Happy podcast day. I'm great. How are you?
Good.
Still
What's
sick,
going on?
So I still sound a little shitty.
Oh,
but
no.
Like,
are you sure it's not
better.
Allergies?
It's like probably exacerbated by allergies.
Yeah.
As it happens.
The season.
Yes. How are you doing?
I'm good. You know, my boob's out. You can't see it. But as per usual, we're back to business. Boobs are out.
A modest woman.
Is never what they'd call me.
You've been gardening.
I've been gardening. I don't know if I told you, all the raised beds that were here were completely filled. Yeah.
Reconstructed them.
Yeah. So we finally finished reconstructing them.
Cool.
And filling them with dirt, which is just a huge undertaking because they're super long. And so last night I put my first zucchinis in the ground.
Exciting.
They've been growing, but they're finally in the ground now. And broccoli in the ground. And so that's pretty exciting. Hopefully they'll, they're really big, so I don't think they should die, but shit happens. So hopefully that shit doesn't happen.
They're going to thrive.
Thank you.
My plants always do better. All my seedlings do better once I get them in the ground because Mother Earth is better at taking care of them than I am. She knows what they need. I don't. I'm like,
she
do you need water? Do you need fertilizer? And she's like, I got this. Just give them to me. And they always thrive once they're in the ground compared to
when they're
in my care.
That's nice to hear. I want to say that I love our new format, but sometimes it's really hard for me because I get good news or bad news that's good for our podcast. And I'm like, damn it, I want to share this with Haley. I'm like, no, I need to save it.
I know. There's been two things. I'm like, I should text Elise about this. And then I'm like, no, I will
Same.
Not.
I'm like,
I'll save
Ben,
it for
should
next
I text
week.
Haley? No, I should not.
Nope.
I should not. I need her real reaction.
It will make for a juicy babysode.
Yes, exactly. It's really hard
The babysodes are juicy. So
they
that's
are.
Good.
Juicy baby
and we're just in existential distress in the meantime.
Just missing each other.
Want to talk shit? I want to talk about true crime. Okay, save it.
Yeah. But we do have some pretty good stuff to talk about today.
Ooh.
Whatever time it is of day that you're listening, listeners.
I picture people listening to this at night in their homes by
in the dark
candlelight. And probably that's not what happens. Maybe
no,
it is.
I don't think so.
If so, hell yeah.
I mean, sweet, if that's true.
Yep.
Here, this would be a good one to listen to by candlelight in the dark.
Should I have a candlelight right now?
No, it can't get you.
Okay.
It's gone.
Okay.
But I think
this
it's pretty scary. Well, not in a ghost way, but
scary. An actual scary way.
Ooh. Not in this could be disproved. No, in this is shit that can happen and it's fucking scary.
Okay, I'm glad that we're recording when it's daylight for me and I'm not home alone.
Yes.
Often we're recording at night and I'm home alone.
I don't think that this could happen on Vashon, but there are reports that maybe it could. And that will become clearer in just a few minutes.
Oh, I am on the edge of my seat, literally and metaphorically.
So let me start by asking, what are you most afraid of when you're in the woods?
Men.
Yes, smart.
Mountain lions.
Mm, very smart.
Sometimes I'm scared that an owl is going to scratch the back of my head.
I don't think that
it happens. No, it happens on Vashon.
That scratches the backs of people's heads.
Yeah, owls will, if you get too close and they're nesting, they'll get territorial and they'll come down and swoop down and attack you. Yeah, you know that famous documentary, The Staircase, about the guy,
yes,
the insane
yes.
guy? So
apparently there's like a follow-up documentary, but they tried to use the owl argument and said the reason she had scratches on the back of her head is because like an owl like followed her into their home or something and like cut her, or like an owl cut her outside and she ran inside and then went upstairs and fell downstairs. I don't know, but
that's a stretch. I mean, it's possible, but
like, that's pretty much it for forest fears. It's mostly other humans and mountain lions.
Big cats.
Yeah.
Well, some people might say that they're afraid of bears.
Yes.
Oh, right. Bears. Duh. Yes.
I knew you'd forget. I did forget. That's amazing. There have been bears here. It's funny because they're almost like bears. Because on the signs on the Vashon trailheads, it's like there could be bears in these forests. Yeah. There could be cougars in these forests. And I'm like, there's a cougar in the forest as soon as I enter it.
Watch out. Haley's on the prowl.
Watch out. Bears. I completely forgot. That is so funny.
I'm so glad that you proved me correct from last week.
I was like, you could do it next week and I wouldn't even remember. Correct.
Yeah, so if you're a devoted listener and you're not like Haley, then it should be no surprise that we're talking about bear attacks this week, because I basically gave it away last episode like an idiot. I didn't even know that I was going to be covering bears, but I came up with the idea last week and gave it away to all of you.
I love it. No, you know.
So
you got an inside perspective on the process of this podcast.
That's a good idea.
Okay, that's what I'm going to do. I don't know why I did like the very dumb white man voice when I impersonated our process.
Yeah, that's not who we are, Ailey. We are dumb white women, not dumb white men. Huge. There is, truly. So I want to actually dedicate this episode to one of our oldest listeners, one of my best friends, Katie, who is deathly afraid of bears.
Oh, I'm like, was she attacked by a bear?
No, but when we lived in Skagway, when I was an intern,
that's a real fear, right?
Yeah, it's a real legit thing. I took her on her first backpacking trip and it was just the two of us. And she almost totally canceled on me and didn't want to go because she was so scared of bears.
Wow.
So to ease her fears, what I would do is I had like a little iPod shuffle. And so I put my iPod on and I'd put the headphones in my ears and I would sing whatever was on the iPod out loud. And so I just sing really loud. Yeah, they're getting far.
No one's
coming.
You could put bells on your bags or you could sing loudly into the forest.
And so this one time, you know, like there's switchbacks in the trail and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And so I was singing some dumb like rap song and I had my trail poles, my hiking poles, and I was like dancing like an idiot. And this woman like rounds the corner and like doesn't even acknowledge us, just like, well, this is happening. And just like walks past my horrible singing. And I looked like a total idiot.
You're like, okay, so, nice to see you too.
Yeah, I'm like, sorry, I'm a moron.
Not the little head nod and hi.
You're welcome for keeping the bears away.
Yeah, so. I'm keeping you safe as well, ma'am.
Yeah, idiot.
That's hilarious.
So anyway, Katie, this one's for you and it will do absolutely nothing to ease your fear of bears. Yeah.
Listen to the shout out, then skip to the end for the good things. Yeah. Do not listen to this podcast if you're afraid of bears.
Yeah.
I can't believe that you said last week you're going to do bears and then you started it with what are you afraid of in the forest and I still didn't realize bears. That shows you the depth of my brain not working these days. The extent
of it. I'm right there with you, sister. Yeah. So no, everyone's along for the ride. Yep. Yeah. So while lots of people are scared of bears, in reality, it's really not something that you should be too worried about because according to the World Animal Foundation, there are only 40 brown bear attacks per year worldwide.
Oh,
yeah.
It's not bad.
And since 1900, black bears have killed 67 people in North America.
Shit.
By contrast, 50,000 black bear are hunted and killed every year in North America.
Oh. So people hunt bears. I don't know why I didn't think. I mean, I guess, you see the rugs and shit.
Yeah. I thought that number was pretty staggering. I was like, that can't be right. And then I found it in multiple places. And I was like, well, no, 50,000 is many. Like,
yes.
A year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit. But yeah, 67 people since 1900 isn't a lot. But
yeah, I'm so surprised that you're allowed to hunt bears.
I know. Well, that there's that many that get killed. That's freaking crazy.
There are a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'd say the numbers are on our side to be.
Yes.
They should be more afraid of us.
They should be making a podcast about humans.
Yogi Bear's podcast. Now, humans suck.
Humans are the worst. We can help with that podcast because that's kind of what our podcast is about too, actually.
It's true. Very, very much so. It's true. So in the States, one of the most accessible places you can go to see bears is Yellowstone,
yep.
one of the most beautiful national parks. And for a little bit of context on how you should be afraid of bears or not, since 1979, the park has welcomed 118 million visitors and just 44 people have been injured by grizzly oh, wow. since then. The National Park Service itself says there is a 1 in 2.7 million chance that you'll be attacked by a bear while in the park. That's, so
the odds are on your side.
Yeah, pretty slim. In contrast, 20 to 22 people in the U.S. alone are killed by cows annually.
Wild.
Like, I truly never thought that you'd have a better chance of being killed by a cow than by a bear.
How but here we are. Killed by cows? They trample them?
I'm assuming, them? Yeah, trampling or like cows with, you know, horns or whatever.
Oh, yeah, like longhorns. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. So the things you learn on this podcast, man.
Never
watch
knew.
Out for cows.
Watch out for cows.
Yeah. But still, bears are dangerous and something to be taken seriously when you're
mm-hmm.
out in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
We have three different kinds of bear here in North America and in the world. The brown bear, the black bear, and the polar bear. Polar bears are pretty obviously distinct from their counterparts, but do you know how to tell the difference between a brown bear and a black bear?
One of them is brown and one of them is black.
That's a very smart observation. But sometimes brown bears or black bears can kind of look brown.
Oh, God.
There's some pretty distinct differences.
Oh.
Most notably is their size. Brown bear are significantly larger. Oh. Male black bears weigh around like 400 pounds and can stand up to 7 feet tall while on Crazy. Their back legs. While the male brown bear can weigh up to 1,500 pounds and stand what? Over 10 feet tall.
Oh, that's so, terrifying. Wait, what is a yeah. grizzly then? What does that fall into?
A grizzly is a brown bear.
It's a kind of brown bear.
Yeah. So there are coastal bears, which mm-hmm. are like Kodiaks, and the Ussuri bear, which we're going to talk about today.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the grizzlies, which are more inland.
Uh-huh.
And the coastal brown bears are generally a lot bigger. Like the Kodiak is the largest bear
uh-huh.
there is. So for Crazy. Some reason, them being on the coast with fish and all the things that they have to eat.
But a really bigger. Healthy diet.
Exactly. Those are some healthy, healthy brown bears.
Mm.
A few other noticeable traits. Brown bears have a very significant hump on their back. If you were to like look at them from the side, you'd see they kind of have like a sway and then like this big hump and mm-hmm. then their head. Black bears don't have that.
Oh.
Brown bears also have cub-shaped ears. And hopefully you don't ever get close enough to notice, but brown bear also have very long, straight, super scary claws.
Mm.
So that's how you can tell.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen that photo of a shaved bear?
No.
It's terrifying.
Really?
Terrifying.
No longer cute?
It's like a nightmare creature.
Oh. Yeah. Have you seen the video of the bear waving?
Yes.
It's so cute.
That's like a
I have
dream
like
of
a
mine.
Major problem in thinking that bears are super cute. Like having
yeah, like I anthropomorphize them and I'm like, no, we'd be friends and we would cuddle yeah. and we'd
it's
frolic
Winnie
together.
The Pooh. Like, mm-hmm. hello, so cute. Murderous creatures.
Yeah, they're really not. Okay, look at that's
I
want to
see this picture.
Like, with no hair on it.
Ooh. It looks like oh, right? like a chupacabra or something.
Yeah, like it looks Yikes. Like not real.
Do you know why that bear is shaved? Oh God, looks like a naked mole rat.
Right? To remind us of how afraid of them we should be.
To remind us they are not cute and cuddly.
It might be. No, I don't know why. Nope, I don't know why.
Because it needed to be embarrassed. It was a bad bear.
Like, look at how scary its face is.
Oh God. It looks like a jackal. I've like come yeah. up with seven different things that it looks like, and none of them is a bear. It just looks yeah. scary and terrifying.
It just is a reminder, like, oh yeah, no, they're really terrifying.
Mm-hmm. So like I said previously, the largest subspecies of brown bear and largest bear in the world is the Kodiak bear, which mm-hmm. coincidentally lives solely on the island of Kodiak in Alaska.
Crazy.
I'm sure you've seen photos or footage mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. like all those bears standing in the waterfalls, like catching the salmon.
Yeah.
That's in Kodiak.
Cool.
And for context, there are around 3,500 Kodiak bears on that island, and that's a density of 0.7 bears per square mile.
So a lot.
That's a lot of fucking bears. Yeah.
A lot of bears.
They are considered to be the world's largest land carnivore, even though they're more of an omnivore. They'll eat grass, berries, fish, and occasionally a human, which we'll get into in a second. This was an astounding fact for me. North America is home to an estimated 600,000 black bear and 55,000 brown bear, and 30,000 of those brown bear live in Alaska.
So,
oh, yeah, you got most of them. That's
fun for me. Yeah, that's great. And just for the sake of covering all my bases, polar bears can weigh up to 1,200 pounds. They stand between 8 and 10 feet tall, and there are thought to be between 22 and 31,000 polar bears worldwide, with 60 to 80% of those residing in Canada, eh? So, there you go. Mm-hmm.
My homeland.
Yep. Alaska is actually home to all three of these species of bear, and it makes up for 29% of all recorded fatal bear attacks in the U.S.
Oh, yikes.
There were 10 between 2000 and 2017. Just last year, a father and his 9-year-old son were attacked here in Palmer while they were out hiking. Thankfully, they were both fine. But yeah, it was really scary. Like, I remember seeing it on the Facebook pages. Like, they were out on the flats and they got attacked and he shot them and hopefully they'll be okay. They are. But yeah, so it's like a real...
It's a real thing.
Yeah, it's a real threat. And while it's statistically pretty unlikely that you will be killed by a bear, it's something you should be prepared for. And in fact, it's taken so seriously here in Alaska that when you backpack in Denali, you have to take a 1-hour bear safety class where you watch a film, you pick up a bear canister that you'll store your food in while in the backcountry. And food
as much
really,
for like their protection as yours, right?
Totally.
Because 100%. If you lure them towards humans and they eat the food, then they essentially like have to be shot.
Yeah, they're a dead bear. You can't like relocate it because now they'll always associate food with people.
Yeah.
It's really one of the biggest factors when you're practicing bear safety. In Denali and really anywhere, you should practice a triangle method where you have your camp at the top part of the triangle, imaginary triangle, and then you walk down to the bottom right part of the triangle, and that's where you cook, and then you walk over to the left part of the triangle, and that's where you store the food. So that downwind, nothing will smell like food where you're sleeping.
Smart.
Yeah, it's really smart. And when we were in Denali, we did not see any bears, but we smelled them.
I remember you said they have a weird bad smell, right?
It's like this musky, like horrible, makes the hair stand on the back of your neck smell. Like your monkey brain kicks in and it's like something dangerous something is here. Yeah.
Creepy.
So when you backpack there, there's no trails. It's just bushwhacking. Yep. But the only rule is you have to camp out of sight of the road. And so, you know, you just hike until you can't see the road anymore. And so we're like tromping through all these bushes and we start smelling these bears and it's getting toward dark. And you can see parts of the bushes where there's like something's been laying down, which is really horrible. And then we had to walk like down this little creek where there's all these like alders, like little trees. And you know, you're pulling trees aside to make your way down the creek and you can't see anything because it's so thick. And
we're going to run into the back of a bear.
I can still remember exactly standing in this spot thinking like, there's going to be a fucking bear here. There's going to be a bear here. I know it. And thank God we did not see one, but it was really terrifying.
I bet.
It was really scary. And before, when you leave to hike, you have to fill out this form with the park rangers describing the color of your tent and the color of clothes you're wearing. And they say, like, you have to tell your parents to call by a certain date if you don't make it out, because we won't come looking for you unless they report you missing. So we had to call our parents and be like, expect us out by Wednesday. And if you haven't heard from us, call to report us and they'll look for our tent.
Oh my God. They'll go to the bear's den and find us.
Exactly. Ooh. Super scary. So there are multiple ways to practice bear safety in the backcountry. You can bring bear spray, although in many cases it can prove more dangerous than helpful because people don't really know how to use it.
Spray themselves in the eyes.
Yeah, or they'll spray it at eye level and the bear is generally charging you from down low. Or they'll spray it into the wind and then, like you said, it blows back into their eyes. Yeah, exactly. And then you can't see the bear coming at you. So another mistake people make often is they'll keep the bear spray inside their pack. So when they need to use it, they can't get to it.
Have you ever seen the quote from I think it's a national park ranger talking about the difficulty in designing bear-proof trash cans? They said there's a considerable overlap between the smartest bear and the dumbest human.
I believe that. Totally.
And that just made me think of that when you're like, yeah, and they spray it into the wind and then.
Yeah. They just don't. I mean, you know, you're scared. So you just like unclip it and spray it and then boom, now you're blinded. Thanks. Like the lesson here is keep your spray on your backpack strap or on your hip.
Yeah.
Like somewhere right you can, easily access it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And like, obviously, if a 1,200 pound bear is lunging at you, it's going to be pretty hard to think and know what to do. But
seriously.
Hopefully you'll have EBC ringing in your ears and think, Elise and Haley told me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned before, there are some people who like to use bells while hiking. Mm-hmm. I've never been a fan of that because I think they're annoying. And second of all, I've heard some people who theorize that the bears will associate the bells with people.
With food. And they're like, ooh,
and then, now, exactly. And then, you know, you get the idea. Not good. Which brings me to my next point, which we kind of already covered, is that you don't want bears to associate people with food. That results in a dead bear and maybe a dead you. So it's really important to lock your food in bear lockers or use those bear canisters. They can be like really heavy and bulky, but it's so worth it because it's going to keep you safe. But if you do happen to be attacked or followed by a bear, it's really important that you don't throw your pack to keep the bear away from you. That seems like your first initial reaction is like, fuck, get this thing away from me.
Like, you go get the food and then I'll run.
Exactly. That bear will end up devouring the food inside the pack and then go looking for more packs. And that's actually one of the biggest things they tell you during that bear safety thing in Denali is they say, do not throw your pack. Like, it's just a huge deal there to not do that. And the pack can also protect you, you know, if it's against your back and the bear is, you know,
trying to eat you.
Yeah, then you can use that as protection. So what should you do if, God forbid, you are attacked by a bear? Well, there are different kinds of attacks, all of which are horrifying. but there's the bluff charge, which is the most common. The bear is just trying to intimidate you, and it's working.
That's a 100% success rate of intimidation.
Works every time.
It will always intimidate.
So if you can tell this is about to happen, you're supposed to back away slowly, put your hands over your head, and make yourself look big. And you speak to the bear in a calm voice. I actually like to do that before I've seen a bear. If I'm just out hiking in bear country, I'll just randomly go, "Hey, bear!" Because most likely they're going to
hear you. You don't want to scare them. That's when you're in most danger, right? Is when you catch them off guard.
Totally. So I just like to say hello and let them know I'm there so they can run away before I ever see them.
Russ and I practice because there's like a lot of coyotes here lately.
Oh, yeah.
In the middle of the day, walking up our driveway, like not at all afraid of people. It's like becoming a bit of a problem, I think. Like broad daylight, not at all intimidated.
No good.
And so like everyone in the neighborhood is like, we have to haze them.
Yeah.
Like make them afraid of us. So like I'll chase them in like my car and just be honking the whole time.
There's that
and
it's funny
because you'll just,
That's
and you'll
crazy.
Hear like in the middle of the day, like prolonged car horns and you're like, someone's trying to scare a coyote right now.
Wow.
So, and they just like look at me like, what?
Like, what is
not
it?
Not good. So Russ and I have been practicing, what do you do if you see a coyote, a cougar, or a bear? And he just puts his hands up and he goes,
like smart guy.
Like make yourself really big and be really loud.
Oh, he gets it. I love that. Smart kid. Smart.
Because there's been good. There's been like a series of coyote attacks on kids in Vancouver.
Oh, shit. I mean, it makes sense if they're desperate
enough.
At
Stanley Park. Yeah, they're just like, oh, God. We can just attack humans. So they've been biting humans the last couple of years.
And then like rabies and, that's terrifying.
So really we scary. Just do crazy dancing instead to try and scare them away. Like you said, make yourself big and be loud.
Auntie Lisi did crazy dancing to prevent the bear attack. So
it works.
It's good. The most important thing, if they bluff charge you, is to not run. Because if you do, it could trigger an actual attack. And that would be bad. If it's not a bluff, the bear will give you some warning signs and it terrifyingly may yawn or clack its teeth, which just...
Yawns like, I'm bored of waiting to eat you and now I really want to eat you.
Yeah. And then it goes...
Let's just get this over with.
Like, no, thank you.
That's so creepy.
Yeah. And then it may pound its front paws on the ground while huffing. Its head will be down, its ears will be pointed back, and you're probably most likely going to be attacked if you get between a bear.
I was going to say, you're probably going to die. That's
you're probably going to die. That's true.
You probably are.
It's over for you. If you get between a bear and its food, or worse, between a mama and her cubs.
Yeah.
So if you see baby bears, don't stop and think they're cute. Don't stop and get a picture. Get the fuck out of there. It's not going to be good. Now, here is the most important piece of information I'm going to give you today. If a brown bear attacks you, the bigger bear, it's likely just trying to eliminate you as a threat. So you want to play dead. Lay down, let it do its thing, try to protect yourself, but just lay there, pretend that you're dead.
Yeah.
Cover your head with your neck or cover your neck and your head with your arms and hands. Lay flat on your stomach, spread your legs apart, keep that pack on to protect you, like we said. And most importantly, when the bear gives up and walks away, stay down. Because likely the bear's watching you from the woods, making sure that you're not going to get up. So really scary. Mm-hmm. If you're attacked by the black bear, the smaller bear, it's likely planning to kill you. So you need to fight back with everything that you got. Do not play dead. Punch and kick the bear. Use any weapons you can find. Hit it with rocks or sticks. Spray it with bear spray. Do whatever you can to protect yourself. Obviously, the same is said for the brown bear. If it's not relenting in its attack, then, you know, obviously you need to start fighting back.
Fight back.
Yeah. Pretty fucking scary. Obviously, it's important to remember if you find yourself in the vicinity, same vicinity as a bear, fucking get out of there. But not every bear is out to get you. Not every bear is wanting to kill you. Not every bear wants to eat you for lunch. And sometimes they're not even scared of you. Case in point, my own personal scary bear story. I don't know if I've told you the story. I know I haven't told it on the podcast. But when I was a madam at the Red Onion, which we've talked about, we had some tours that we did.
when you say that and people don't know the back story, they're like, oh, Lise was a sex worker?
I didn't know that. That's edgy.
They're so open on this podcast. We are.
Yes.
But also, I was just a tour guide at a brothel museum.
So. Historical brothel.
Thank you
Not
for clarifying.
Still working. Well,
no.
That we know
well,
of.
Yeah,
that
we know of.
That we've it shared
could always
far
be a backup plan.
Yes.
Yeah, so we would do certain tours that were in the woods. We'd like, we were called like, I don't, something Betty. We'd dress up in like flannels and drive buses around and take people into the woods and
whatever. Fun.
Yeah, it was fun. But we would also do these picnics along the river. And it was like ham sandwiches and chips and, you know, we'd set up on this picnic table. And so generally we'd do two tours a day. They each were like 4 hours. So my first tour group, I take him to the woods. We finish with the picnic and we've got all our stuff set up. I see behind my guests in the woods, this huge ass fucking bear, like a huge grizzly. And we're sitting at the picnic table with our ham and cheese sandwiches. And the bear is like, I mean, he's in the woods snuffling, just like looking for whatever the fuck he can find.
Oh, my God.
And so, and I have these people I'm responsible for, these tourists.
And do you and have so, like bear spray or anything?
Yeah, I had bear spray. But still, I mean, it's
like a group
so
of like
huge
tourists.
Yeah. And the tourists are just stoked. Like, oh, my God, there's a bear. I want pictures of it. So I'm like, everyone needs to get to the van right now. Get to the van. So we get to the van and we go and have the picnic somewhere else. Like, we just get out of there.
Shit.
And you know it's terrifying, but we're safe. Whatever.
I would have been so
Let's see
sweaty.
What happened next? Oh yeah. Okay. So I had another tour, and you know people love hearing animal stories, and they love the thought that they might see wildlife. It gets you better tips. It's just it's true. It does. So I tell everyone this story about the bear and how oh my god
and,
like,
this
we saw
is the
a bear.
Same day. This is now your afternoon.
Yeah.
Group
exactly.
The same day.
Yeah. Same day. Same day. Same place. Same tour. And so I'm telling them this story. We go to the same campground, same area to have lunch because it's been like 6 hours at this point.
Like, yeah.
Of course the bear's gonna be gone.
Grizzly's not gonna be hanging out.
Yeah. So we sit down at the table and I don't know why I'm an idiot. That's why I sat with my back to the woods. And so the tourist was sitting opposite me. And she says, just like this, there's a bear behind you. And I was like, yeah, okay, good one. That's funny. She's like, no, really. And I look and that same fucking grizzly is in the woods right behind me. And I have to, you know, get everyone up super fast, get them to the van. Oh, we get to the van and I realize I've left the keys on the fucking picnic table.
Oh, fuck.
So I have to run back to the table to get the keys. I get them, get everyone in the car. And thank God.
Oh my
god. We were
god.
Okay. But it was so scary. And,
I cannot even imagine. I would be absolutely terrified.
It was terrifying.
My heart rate is like, my heart is racing right now just hearing you tell the story.
It was so scary. And I mean, amazingly, the bear couldn't give a shit about our food. Like, he was busy doing whatever he wanted to do.
Good.
So, like, that's a case where, you know, the bear doesn't care about you, but like,
he doesn't care.
It would only
but
take
you still
a
need
second,
to care about the bear.
Yeah, for it to decide to care. Which brings me to my next story, which was in the same area of Skagway. My dad and I were driving and he stayed in an RV for a summer in Skagway as a camp host.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I, you know, was bringing him back to his RV and there was a bear out on this island, on this area called the Flats. And so there's this little island, then there's water, and then there's a big steep hill up to the road where we were. And so we drove past the bear. My dad said, Elise, on your way back, don't stop to get pictures of the bear. I know you. Don't stop. Just go back. And so I'm like, yeah, okay, dad, whatever. Like, I know better. I'm a young adult. So I drop him off and I go back and I've got my camera with me. And so I'm like, I'm going to stop and get pictures of this bear. It's so cool. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm taking pictures of the bear, it gets into the water and starts swimming. And I'm like, this is so fucking cool. I need to get video of it on my phone. So in the time that I had turned around to grab my phone, which was literally right behind me, and turned back around to video the bear was running up the hill towards me and the car at like, you know, 60 miles per hour. It was fucking insane.
Oh my
and I just
God.
Remember feeling like, holy shit, what do I do? And I just ran around my car, got into the driver's seat, and the bear ran alongside the guardrail, ran in front of my car, and then up the mountain. And it was terrifying. I just got goosebumps just thinking about it.
I would. Oh my God. Yeah. Nope.
It was so scary. And then, sorry, this is the last one. One other time. This is actually.
I apologize for telling cool bear stories.
This was during Katie's wedding week. She had all these people come out to visit, and we did all these fun things in Skagway. And one of them was to go watch bears on the flats, the same area. All these things happen in the same area. Mm-hmm. When the salmon run, it's just, you know, great for them.
Right.
And so we were watching these bears from a distance, and there were these two huge grizzlies, and there was some moron who thought it would be a good idea to ride his bike on the flats. And so he's riding his bike, and we see these two grizzlies like running and like fighting with each other or playing. I don't know what they were doing, but it was big movements. And he couldn't see, but they were about to come out from these trees, and they come out right in front of his bike, and he like slams on the bike on his brakes. God. And I remember thinking, if they had come out from behind him, they might have started chasing him because they would have seen this thing.
Because they're riled up.
Yeah. And so he stops, the bears stop, they both look at each other, and then, you know, the bears go on and do their own thing. And then he comes to our group and he's like, do you think I could catch a ride with you guys? Because like, I don't feel safe riding my bike out.
As you shouldn't.
Like, yeah. Why would you ever think it was a good idea to ride there in the first place?
Was he a tourist or was he a local?
No, he was like a seasonal worker, like a fucking idiot. Yeah. Oh, so in all instances, you just need to remember to respect the bear because it's terrifying.
Seriously.
They're super fast and dangerous. Okay, so we've learned not to get between a bear and her cubs, or a bear and its food, or between a bear and anything, basically.
Yep. Just stay away from them.
Yeah, don't be an idiot and corner a bear to get a good photo for your Instagram. Don't surprise a bear. But what do we do about a predatory bear? What do we do about a bear that stalks you like prey, watching you from the trees, and waiting for just the right moment to strike?
You just accept death and hope there's something after this great life.
Like you thought I was going to say earlier. You just die.
You just die.
That's
you
all it
just
is.
Accept you just... that we all get called back home, as they say, at some point or another.
To Satan's bunghole.
Satan calls us back down below.
Yeah. Let's hope we never find out what happens if you encounter a predatory bear. Like they did one fateful day along the Sankabetsu River in the town of Tomame, a quiet, lonely, heavily forested area off the coast of Hokkaido, Japan.
Oh, no.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Just don't live in a quiet, heavily forested area.
Okay, Vashon.
Oops.
Okay, Palmer.
Like, uh-oh, we both live in those screwed. Areas. Yeah.
We're doomed. This really is a, forgive the pun, grisly tale. And I was shocked I'd never heard it before. And honestly, it reads like a scary story that you'd tell over a campfire to warn against bears. And I'm really surprised it hasn't been made into a movie yet. It's like insane enough to be almost unbelievable.
Oh, man.
This is the story of the Sankabetsu bear attack, likely one of the worst bear attacks ever recorded. So the year was 1915. We're going back a little over 100 years ago. It was November. There was already wet, heavy snow on the ground, and the Akita family was settling in for the winter. Sankabetsu was a relatively new settlement, and so it was pretty common for wild animals to like cause a ruckus in and around their homes. So when their horse was spooked by something in the early morning hours, they didn't think it was a big deal. The family investigated, and they found a large Usuri brown bear fleeing after taking some of their harvested corn for themselves.
Oh, man.
And this is one of the first things that, or first reasons we know that it can't end well, because now we know that the bear knows that it can get food from
houses. If I stay around you, I get food.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But as we'll come to find out, corn was not the first food he'd learned he could take from houses.
Uh-oh.
Usuri brown bears are also known as Izo bears or Russian grizzlies, and they are some of the largest brown bears. They're comparable in size to the Kodiak that we talked about earlier. They can grow up to 1,200 pounds and range from 6 to 9 feet in length.
Terrifying.
So you'd be happy to see it running away from your house, not towards you, hopefully never to return. Unfortunately, that was not the case for Senkabetsu.
Oh, no.
The bear stayed close, and he reappeared on November 20th and then again on November 30th.
Wait, what year did you say this was again?
1915.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so quite a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Akita repeatedly threatened the bear. You know, every time it would come visit, he'd threaten it away. He didn't have a gun, so he wasn't able to kill it. And, you know, while taking some corn doesn't seem reason enough to want to kill a bear, there was something that happened during those visits that spooked Mr. Akita. We don't know what it was, but it was enough that he thought it was important for his son to go call on the Matagai to come hunt the bear. And Matagai are traditional Japanese winter hunters who are famous for their bear hunting skills.
Oh, crazy.
So Mr. Akita was not messing around.
So it like... Either he knew, okay, it's stealing from our food, it's going to continue to be a menace, or like it scared him, like it threatened him or something. And he was like, this is an aggressive bear.
Right. Like it's worth just dispatching this bear, getting rid of it. Yeah. Let's go get the Matagai on this. So his son did as he was told, and he returned with two hunters, but the bear didn't reappear. And there was freshly fallen snow, made it difficult to track. But the Matagai, being experienced as they were, weren't really sure that it had actually left the area. They felt like it was pretty certain that he was still around.
Mm-hmm.
So they waited, and sure enough, 10 days after their arrival, the Usuri bear returned.
Oh, shit.
The Matagai shot at it, and they made contact. They shot it and succeeded. But it fled into the woods, and it left behind a trail of blood, which they were able to follow.
Mm-hmm.
But they noticed that even though the bear was injured, it hadn't slowed down at all. Its snowy footprints showed long strides and no signs that it had stopped to rest. And the footprints led the hunters to the foot of Mount Onishika, where they camped for the night. And they hoped to follow his trail in the morning. But unfortunately, there was a massive snowstorm, and it forced them to turn back. So they get back to the Akita home, and the Matagai assure them that it's really unlikely the bear is going to come down from the mountain. Either he's not going to survive hibernation due to his injuries. Mm-hmm. Remember, it's November. He's about to go down for his winter sleep. Or he'd just forever be scared of humans because they'd shot him.
We just shot him. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's not going to come back.
Uh-oh.
And after assuring the family of their safety, they decided to leave Senkabetsu because there were more snowstorms coming and they didn't want to be trapped for the whole winter. So they decided to go back home. Sadly, their predictions couldn't have been more wrong. Things are about to get really bad really quick. So here's a content warning. I can't really tell the story without getting into the really gnarly, difficult details. So be warned, there's going to be some carnage, death to children, pregnant women, and a possible suicide. Yeah, it gets pretty bad. On December 9th at 10:30 a.m., a farmer's wife named Abe Mayu was babysitting two-year-old Hasumi Mikio at the Oda homestead. They were farmers who worked for the Odas. And I don't know why she was babysitting at this house, but she was. Mm-hmm. And some accounts say that little Hasumi was 6, not 2, and others say he was 1. So either way.
It's a young kid.
Yeah. Young child or baby.
Toddler. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. An innocent.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't know how it happened, whether Abe Mayu had any warning or if she was just taken totally by surprise. But that giant Usuri bear came crashing through the house's thatched walls and viciously murdered Abe and Hasumi.
Oh my God.
Little Hasumi was found in his crib with a bite taken out of his head. It was clear that Abe had tried to protect the baby from the bear as pans and firewood were strewn about the rooms. Like she'd clearly been trying to throw things stuff at it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like she could have just run for the door, but she decided to stay and try to save that baby. And whether the bear was trying to silence a scream for Hasumi or just going in for a small bite, we'll never know. But after killing the poor child, he lunged for Abe and quite literally tore her limb from limb before dragging her into the woods, leaving this horrible murder scene in his wake.
Oh my God.
Absolutely terrifying. The horror wasn't discovered until the next morning when Abe's husband entered the dark and quiet house.
No.
His wife was missing as the bear had dragged her into the woods, but judging by the amount of blood and poor little Hasumi's remains left in the crib, he knew the outcome wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, her husband had worked in a slaughterhouse, and he said this scene was worse than he'd ever seen before.
Oh my God.
And he couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle the horror. He couldn't handle what had happened to his wife. So he decided he just needed to leave the island of Hokkaido altogether. Mm-hmm. He packed his bags, and on his way out of town, he encountered Mayuki Yasutaro and Saito Ishiguro. And he explains what had happened. He says, there's these horrors in this house. My wife's been murdered. There's a baby murdered. My wife's gone. I'm assuming it's this bear. I can't be here anymore.
Oh, wow.
So like
immediately packed up and left.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you can't be in that house.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So Yasutaro and Ishiguro decide they're going to go investigate themselves. And Yasutaro actually lived next door to the Odas. His house was only about 1,000 feet away. So you can imagine the terror and realizing like how close you and your family had come to death. So in light of this danger and this horrible bear on the loose, Miyuki welcomes Ishiguro's family into his home. I guess his house was a bit more substantial. They had logs that acted as support alongside the thatched walls. And so they figured they'd be a little safer in there.
Yeah.
So in hopes of getting help, the two men journey to the nearby town of Tamame to alert the authorities about this like literally insane bear on the loose.
Yeah.
And they figured their families are together, and I'm sure they assumed there was safety in numbers, so they felt like it was okay for them, the men of the house, to be gone.
Oh, God. And both the men left.
Yeah, both the men.
Because they're thinking, this is the dangerous part, traveling right. to the other town. So we'll leave you in the safe protection right. of our home, well, and we'll take the risk.
And like, who thinks that the bear is going to come back again?
And like break through a wall.
Right. Yeah. Another wall and kill another human. So they make it to Tamame and they find the Imperial office. And after the office hears these details of this horrible bear attack, they dispatch 50 policemen to Sankibetsu. Wow. And like, surely this would end the grisly nightmare, right? Like, surely their wives and their children are going to be safe. Oh, no. Some of the guardsmen stayed put to protect everyone inside the Yasutaro home. Others went to document the scene of the killing at the Oda household. And then 35 went off into the woods to find the body of Abe and hopefully kill the bear once and for all. Put an end to this nightmare. The guards had been following the bear's trail for just 500 feet when they came face to face with him, enraged and hungry.
Oh no.
They fired 5 shots, hit him once, like they're terrible marksmen apparently. And the bear decided to keep coming even as they're shooting at him. This like gives you insight into what a fucking terror this thing was. But at the last minute, he thinks better of attacking 35 men and like turns on his heels and runs back into the woods.
And he's running towards them and they don't shoot him anymore. Yeah,
exactly. Like just keep shooting. Just shoot.
Like how fast is this gun?
I guess you have to reload it.
Like put the thing like down.
Probably.
Yeah. So
it's probably
but
not
still,
like.
Still, if 35 of them, they should all have guns.
Yeah, that's 35
shots. Look at
shots.
Me being pro gun. I'm like, shoot him. Shoot the bear.
I mean, if the instance calls for it.
That's why we had the right to bear arms in the first place, I'm pretty sure.
Bear arms.
But like literally was to protect your family against this kind of shit. Like real threats.
Yeah. So 10 men went after the bear as it ran away into the woods, and then the rest went in search of Abe. Those that followed the bear found a puddle of blood beneath a fir tree. So they assumed oh great, like he's gonna be around. He's he's dead, he's finished. Unfortunately, the bear had only paused there for a moment before taking off once more, his stride even stronger than before. For whatever reason, the men decide to stop pursuing the bear. It's not clear if they lost the trail, if the bear went too far. As we've said, bear can travel pretty far pretty fast.
Yeah.
Regardless, they turn around and head back to the village. The remaining guards who went in search of the remains of Abe found her buried in a snowbank, and the only thing left were her head and legs.
Man,
the rest had been completely devoured by the bear.
Ugh.
Now, rather than remove Abe's body, the guards decided to put sharpshooters nearby in the hopes that the bear would return and they could just eliminate him when he came back.
Yeah.
So they would put 2 sharpshooters outside Oda's house where the infant and Abe had been killed. One would wait inside the house in case he came back for the baby. 4 would wait in the woods with the remains of Abe nearby in case the bear came back for his leftovers. And the remaining officers would stake out at Yasutaro's house to protect the women and children inside.
Okay.
With so many people outside the house, one could reason that a bear would be too scared to approach.
Right. Or they would be able to kill it before it got close.
Totally. But you really can't reason with a predatory bear. They're fucking crazy.
Uh-oh.
Meanwhile, back in Tamame, Ishiguro and Yasutaro were still in the town center. They decided to go in search of a notorious man, someone who could help them if the guardsmen were to fail. Yamamoto Heikichi. He was a man whose reputation in bear hunting preceded himself.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. They introduced themselves and explained their situation, telling of the rogue bear attacking their village. To their surprise, Yamamoto was not at all what they expected. He was in visibly poor health. He'd become something of an alcoholic. He wasn't exactly this hero that they were expecting to find.
Shit. So he's like a sad old man and they're like, oh, you're not going to be able to help us.
This isn't what we were expecting.
Bummer.
He was in no fit state to hunt bears. And even if he was, he admitted that he'd sold all his guns to buy alcohol. So there was nothing he could do to save anyone. And anyway, he argued, the Imperial Police were on their way and surely they would keep the family safe and kill the bear. But Ishiguro and Yasutaro weren't willing to give up. They begged Yamamoto to reconsider and told in grave detail the story of poor Abe and Hasumi and how they'd been murdered, how Abe had been torn limb from limb and dragged from the house, how poor Hasumi was killed right in his crib. A bear preying on people is pretty out of the norm. If it happened before, you wouldn't soon forget it. So when Yamamoto heard of this predatory killer, he paused and thought, I might know this bear. It might be the one that got away. He called it...
Great narrative arc.
Thank you. He called it Kasagaki, which meant diagonal slash on the shoulder. Maybe the bear sported like a white slash or a patch of fur. Whatever it looked like, Kasagaki had been blamed for the mauling of three women years prior and had never been killed. All three women had been alone in their homes when the bear had savagely torn them apart.
Shit.
If it was Kasagaki, Yamamoto said everyone was in grave danger. But despite the apparent threat and Yamamoto's skills, he still wasn't willing to take the job.
He's like, no, I'm going to stay here and drink.
Yeah, I'm not the man I once was. I'm a drunk.
He is like a movie character.
I know. I'm telling you, this is like it's a movie like, writing itself.
You are all in grave danger.
Yeah,
no, I'm just going to drink. Deuces. Dude is coming. Yeah. I'm not.
It's like Harrison Ford. Like, no, man, I can't. Yep. I can't do this.
Those days are behind me. Good luck, kids.
I fucked up once before and didn't kill it. Why would this time be any different?
Yeah. And they're like, please, this is how you redeem yourself.
Exactly.
And recover from your sad alcoholic life of regret.
I mean, it's literally a movie.
The movie is like writing itself.
I know. Hollywood,
trademark,
pick it up.
Easy Bake Coven.
TM. So back at the homestead, the sharpshooters are waiting on their bear. They anticipated he would come down from the mountain from the direction where he'd fled. They assumed he'd come back for the remains of Abe. They never expected that he'd come from the direction of the houses and the 40 freaking guards that protected the people there.
Oh, right. Why would you think that?
Right. But to their surprise, the bear appeared between the group of sharpshooters coming from the direction of the 40 armed men. He'd outsmarted them because both groups were afraid to shoot for fear of crossfire. They didn't want to accidentally injure one of their own or hit the women and children. So, either this bear was really lucky or incredibly smart because it stopped the shooters from shooting him.
Oh, man.
But finally, they decide, well, we got to shoot when we have the chance. So they decide to fire, but it's too late. And this motherfucker escapes again.
Oh, my God.
Takes off down the Senkabetsu River with the sharpshooters in hot pursuit. So hearing all the gunfire, all the 40 guards who have been keeping watch over the family decide to run towards the area where they've heard the shooting because we need to go help, leaving everyone inside the house completely vulnerable.
No.
Mayuki Yayo, who was Yasutaro's wife, one of the guys who went to town, Saito Take, Ishigaro's wife, the other guy who went to town, were inside the house busying themselves with nightly duties. Saito was 8 months pregnant, so she's probably taking it easy. Mayuki was carrying her 2-year-old son, Umakichi, on her back while cooking the meal. And the women were joined by Yayo's 3 other sons, the oldest being 16-year-old Mayuki Odo and Saito's 4 sons, along with her unborn child in her belly and her young niece. Now, there are some accounts that say Mayuki Odo was actually one of the soldiers who just happened to share the name of the Mayuki family. But a lot of sources seem to think this is unlikely. Like, it's probably their kid.
Yeah, if he's, like, in the house with them, the one person.
Yeah, and he has the same name. Like,
mm-hmm.
So the guards all continue following the bear's footprints down the river, but they are horrified to realize that the prints they've been following are going the wrong way.
Oh.
Like, fucking morons. The prints are heading towards them, so they're not pursuing the bear at all. This is an old trail.
Shit.
Inside the house, Yayo hears a deep, guttural grumbling sound.
No. And she looks up to see the bear's head breaking through her shuttered window. And then the two of them stare at each other for a horrible second before the bear backs away. And for a brief moment, it's silent before the bear comes crashing through the grass walls.
Oh, my God.
He knocks over a pot of boiling water she has on the fire, snuffing out the burning coals and oil lamp, plunging the house into total darkness.
Of course.
Just horrible. Oh, I got goosebumps just thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yayo tries to escape with her youngest child strapped to her back, but her second son, Yujiro, grabs onto her legs, trips her in the dark, and the bear pins her to the ground and heartbreakingly rips into little Umakichi, who's nestled against her back, and then rips into Yayo's own skull, tearing off her scalp. 16-year-old Odo goes for the rifle, but the bear is like, fuck that. He blocks his way, but Odo somehow manages to get beneath a bed frame, and the bear attempts to swipe at him through the slats of the frame.
Oh my God.
Somehow Yayo is still alive, the gal who was just scalped, and Odo's bed frame was enough of a distraction, like Odo hiding beneath the bed frame was enough of a distraction that it gave her time to escape with three of the children through the bear's hole in the wall, along with Umakichi on her back. Now, Saito Take, pregnant, is still in the house. She's taken refuge under a blanket in the corner, which is like a horrifying place to imagine hiding, but the best that she could do.
Yeah.
She's hiding with her niece, Saito Rakizo, her young son, Haruyoshi, and Yayo's son, Kinzo. And the two boys are both 10 years old and apparently best friends. So she sees the bear is distracted and decides this is their best chance at escape. So she tells the boys to run while the bear's distracted, but her niece was too scared. Niece didn't want to leave her side. So the two boys listen to Saito and try to make it out through the same hole as Yayo. But to Saito's horror, the bear loses interest in Odo and sets his sights on the young boys.
No.
He blocks their path and eats them both alive.
Oh my God.
Then he turns to 7-year-old Saito Iwao, Ishiguro's youngest son, and tears into him while he lays in his bed. There are some accounts that say that he was having a nightmare about a bear, only to wake up and find that like his nightmare was a reality as this bear is literally tearing into him. Finally, the bear turns to the bundle of blankets whimpering in the corner. He starts with her niece, Rakizo, before turning his gaze to the pregnant Saito Take. She tried to climb underneath that bed frame, but it was no use. The bear was too strong and too hungry. Some say they could hear her screaming for miles, echoing across the mountains, begging and pleading with the bear to let her and her unborn child live. Heartbreakingly, some say that they heard her exclaim, "Take my legs, take my chest and face, take me, but let my baby be, leave my belly and my baby be." Just heartbreaking.
So sad.
The guardsmen finally make their way back to the house where they're met with a bloody Yayo and these three kids. The fourth, little Umakichi, is on her back in an unknown condition. They return to the house, which is now silent, but the bear is still inside. The guards wanted to light the house on fire to kill the bear once and for all, but Yayo is like, no, what if there's kids inside still alive? Like, we can't burn these kids alive. So the guardsmen stand outside the torn down wall and try to get the bear out. And once again, history repeats itself. These guys were either total morons or just moronic in their fear. But
they're just like standing across from each other. Yes. So that when the bear comes out, they can't shoot it.
Yes. Then they don't want to crossfire and kill each other. So the bastard escapes again, carrying meat in his mouth. Yeah. Just horrible. These idiots.
Oh.
So the guards light torches and enter the house where this bloody scene stands before them. Mayuki Kinzo is dead, completely torn open and eaten. His best friend laid out beside him, his legs and torso eaten beyond repair. Yet somehow he was still alive and would hold on until the next morning when he succumbed to his injuries.
Oh, how sad.
Odo was still hiding beneath the bed, bleeding, but otherwise okay. But he'd witnessed it all. He'd watched the 10-year-old boys be ripped to shreds. He'd seen Saito Take killed viciously, begging for her baby to be spared. And there was nothing he could do to stop it. Like, he survived the attack, but his mind is probably fucked.
I cannot imagine it.
And a year later, he fell from a high bridge and drowned. Whether he fell accidentally or on purpose is unknown, but
probably purposely.
Yeah, I think it's pretty easy to imagine that he just couldn't live with it anymore. Saito Iwao, the boy who was in bed, somehow survived, but he's found bleeding after obviously getting bitten by this bear. But his mother, Saito Take, was not so lucky. She lay dead on the ground beneath him. The flesh from her legs was torn away. Her face was destroyed. Her spine was exposed at the neck. But strangely, the bear had honored her last request, and he left her belly alone.
Wow.
Apparently, a medic performed surgery on Take, and her baby boy was born alive, but sadly did not make it through the night.
Mm.
Her niece lay dead next to her, what little there was left of her. Yayo, who'd been scalped, lived and made as full of a recovery as one can after being scalped by a bear. Her son, Umakichi, who had been on her back, his spinal column had been severed by the bear's bite. And heartbreakingly, he lingered and lived for 2 years before succumbing to his injuries.
How horrible.
Yeah, really horrible. So in less than 15 minutes, the bear had managed to kill 5 people. An unborn child and his mother, her young niece, and 2 sons.
Oh my God. Kill this fucking
bear. Kill this fucking
bear. Like at the beginning where I was like, I can't believe we're allowed to kill bears. And now I'm like, kill this bear.
It's like in Beauty and the Beast.
Kill the beast.
So Ishiguro and Yasutaro had been stuck in town all night, totally unaware that their family had been viciously murdered by the one they called Kasagaki. The winter storm had been really bad, making the road impassable. So they had stayed in a hotel and prepared to make their way home the next morning.
Oh, must be nice fucking sleeping in a cushy ass hotel.
Yeah, right.
Like, all these poor there's people. Too much snow. I can't make it home to my family.
Getting fucking viciously murdered in their houses.
Oh my God. Protect your families.
Right? So as they make their way through the village on their way home, it becomes increasingly clear that something's horribly wrong.
Oh, no.
Each homestead they pass is dark, completely abandoned. And they finally stop at the school, one of the few places where there's signs of life. And notably, one of the only buildings in town built of brick, not of thatched walls.
Mm.
And they quickly learn the fate of their loved ones and the horrors that had occurred the night before. By morning, many of the guards had just decided to leave their posts. Some say they left probably because they considered the bear to be a demonic entity, which you could like hardly blame them.
Hell yeah.
Others say they simply left due to logistics. There weren't enough supplies. They didn't have the ability to get the job done. The only ones who remained were supposedly those who had fought in the battle between Japan and Russia 10 years prior. So, like, basically
tough,
guys who'd seen some
shit. Sons of bitches.
Yeah, exactly. Ishiguro and Yasutaro decide to post up themselves for the night, preparing to protect what remained of their families.
So they find out when they get to the school.
Like, yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, everyone's run away because your families have been murdered.
Yeah, so sucks for you.
Oh, man.
Yeah, welcome home.
And the surviving family members were like, were they at the school or they were somewhere safe?
That's not clear. I mean, they're safe. Mm. The bear's not in the area, but it's not clear where they are. There were, you know, for as much detail as there is, there's a lot unknown because a lot of people just weren't willing to talk about it. Like, it was so traumatic and so horrible that they were like, I don't ever want to think about that.
Yeah, there's going to be like, there's going to be gaps where they didn't happen to find someone who was willing to share what happened at
that point. They're at the 12 remaining guardsmen readied themselves. They're like, we're still going to try to kill this bear. So they get their guns out. They wait for the bear to return, but he doesn't. The night is quiet and uneventful. Now, news of these attacks traveled fast. And back in town, Yamamoto, that drunk bastard, hears all of these gory details. And to his horror, he learns that the bear has eaten a pregnant woman and 4 children. And then he realizes that these poor souls were related to the same dudes who tried to get his help just the night before. So he decides finally to get off his drunk, lazy ass and go do something about Kasagaki. He wasn't going to let that fucker get away this time.
Oh, hell yeah.
So Yamamoto catches a ride with a friend and makes his way to Rakusawa, Sankibetsu, and he arrives before dawn. He finds his way to the guardsmen and asks to be shown to the site of the attacks, where he becomes further convinced that this bear and Kasagaki were one and the same, a bear serial killer who stalks and kills women in their homes. Yamamoto explores the rest of the village, where he finds 8 uninhabited homes all ransacked by Kasagaki. The inhabitants had fled before the bear had a chance to add them to his menu, but if they hadn't, he would have probably killed all of them as well. There was no sign of the demon bear as the sun rose. So Yamamoto knocks on Ishiguro and Yasutaro's door the next morning, shocking them both with his arrival because he'd so clearly been adamant about not helping. And he has a horrible request. The bodies of the victims were currently on their way to town to be buried, but Yamamoto said they needed to be brought back. He knew that Kasagake's hunger had not been satiated, and he was sure that his kill, covered in Kasagake's scent, would be enough to draw him out. Understandably, Ishiguro and Yasutaro are like, hell no, like, we're not putting our families back in the harm's way of this bear, even though they're dead. Like, we want them to rest in peace.
Yeah.
But the plan was already in motion. The bodies were already on their way back. Yamamoto had really only asked to be polite. He's like, this is the plan. This we need to get rid of this bear.
Yeah. I'm an expert. Just trust me.
Yeah. So these poor people are placed back inside this house of horrors, and Yamamoto calls off the sharpshooters from outside the house. He wanted to make the scene as unthreatening as possible for Kesagake. He wants it to look like no one's out to get him. He's safe. So Yamamoto and the four other hunters prepare themselves to meet the bear face to face from within the scene of the crime. They block the main door to the house, leaving only the bear's forced entrance available, the hole in the wall. For whatever reason, Yamamoto said no one was to shoot unless they were sure it would be a kill shot, and the bear had to have at least 1 foot in the house. They weren't allowed to
shoot. He's like, let's have some fucking rules of engagement here now.
Exactly, because every one of you is sucked up until this point. So they waited for hours, and then they hear a sound and smelled that foul odor that only accompanies a bear. They heard him huffing and groaning as he sniffed around the house, and Yamamoto signaled for the men to hold their fire. Do not shoot unless the bear is inside. And it seemed that Kesagake could tell something was wrong, because despite the smells of a promising meal, he did not dare enter. He left the way he came, and the bear, the man-eater, was still at large.
Oh, God.
Like I said, news travels fast, and some 200 people arrived to offer their help in taking down the assassin bear. More Matagai came, fishermen, veterans, doctors, off-duty police officers, all these people come to Senkabetsu. At this point, Kasagake had crossed the river, and Yamamoto knew he'd have to cross back over. So he decided that he would place all the men along the shore. So with only the river and its bank opposite them, there's no fear of crossover like there had been the last 100 opportunities they'd had to shoot.
Be more strategic about this. Yeah,
exactly. So they could finally safely take their shot. They constructed these rope bridges to cross the river in case the bear took off and they had to quickly follow in pursuit.
Cool.
And then they waited, scouring the shadows across the river, waiting for Kasagake to appear. After hours of waiting, a sharpshooter thought he saw something, like the shadow that looked like it could be a bear. So he alerted his commanding officer, who shrugged it off. It was nothing. But then he looked again, did a double take. It still didn't move. And he warned, he said out loud, like, if you're a man, you need to move because I'm going to shoot you. So if you're a person, you know, stand up, show me. And still, nothing. So the sharpshooter shoots into the night, striking that still dark shadow. And that big black mass, which was in fact Kasagake, retreated into the darkness. So to think that it had been like lying in wait, watching all of those men along the riverbank silently planning his next move.
Ooh, is just so creepy.
Terrifying. Yeah. So the men cross the river via those rope bridges and follow the trail of blood. And Yamamoto, who's alerted by the gunfire at this point, arrives on the scene and says, wait, we need to wait until morning to track this bear. It'll be safer that way.
Right. Let's not continue to give him great opportunities to kill all of us.
Exactly. Again and again. So the next morning, December 14th, 1915, Yamamoto and a group of officers set out in search of Kasagake. Yamamoto said that he recognized this trail and he was sure that this bear and Kasagake were in fact one and the same. Because remember, he tried to kill it years before.
Yeah.
This was indeed the same bear who had viciously murdered 3 women 4 years earlier. So the men follow these bloody tracks as snow begins to fall. And after several miles, they find him. Sleeping between the roots of a large tree, there was Kesagake, unaware of his impending fate.
Oh, shit.
Yamamoto steps forward, takes one shot, and pierces the bear. He rises up and roars. And Yamamoto takes his second shot and pierces Kesagake's brain, sending him falling to his death in the new fallen snow.
Oh, shit.
Finally, his reign of terror was over. He weighed 749 pounds and stood at just under 9 feet tall. But he was malnourished and skinny, considering an Usuri bear of his size should weigh upwards of 1,400 pounds.
So this is why he was so desperate to eat humans and steal human food, because he was starving.
His starvation, as he entered hibernation, no less, made for a very desperate,
really dangerous.
Dangerous bear. In just 2 days, the bear had killed 8 people, 9 if you include Oto's speculated suicide a year later. Abimayu and the baby she watched, Hasumi Mikio, Ishiguro's son, Miyuki Kinzo and Umakichi, Saito Haroishi and his mother, Saito Taki,
her unborn baby and niece. And if you believe that this bear and Kasagake were one and the same, then you can add the three previously murdered women to the total, bringing his known victim count up to 12. Man. Today, the story of Kasagake and his murderous rampage is still alive and well in Tomame. The Welcome to Tomame sign boasts a life-size bear statue beckoning you in with its outstretched claws. I know, it's gross.
Why? I'd be like, this is a town of no bears because we killed the bad one.
Right?
No
right?
bears welcome here.
It just gets worse. There's a folk museum in town that gives grisly details of the horrific attack. But perhaps worst of all is the recreation of the scene itself at the actual home site.
Just at the actual place where it happened?
Yeah, the real place.
Why?
Yep. Just 15 miles from the museum at the end of this aptly named Bear Road through a dense, thick forest, like in the middle of nowhere, you just come upon this grass house, an exact replica of the one Kasagake tore into and devoured his poor victims. And behind the house stands this life-size replica statue of Kasagake himself. His like eyes look red and glowing and his claws are like outstretched towards the house's thatched roof.
Why?
And you can go into the house, which is like said to be a replica of the Oda household. It's complete with tools, lanterns, and all the household goods they would have used in 1915. And I'm not sure if this is the same reconstructed house or a second one, but there's this really horrid and vivid visual detail that shows these two men sitting on the floor while a stuffed, like, taxidermied bear is bursting through the wall preparing to eat them. Like,
oh my God.
Horrifying. Just terrifying. And today, many people are too scared to venture to the scene. Like, I can't blame them. Like I said, it's literally in the middle of nowhere in a dense, lonely wood.
And there's still bears there.
Yes, there's still many bears there.
Yeah.
And after the killings, the entire settlement cleared out. So there's no homes for miles, no signs of human life, and there are warnings all around for bears in the area. Visitors can venture into the woods if they're daring enough, and they can walk to an area called Hibernation Hole, which, like, absolutely not. Thank you.
Would never. Would never. Maybe if I had one of those automatic weapons I've been hearing so much about. Right? Probably still not, though, because I just end up shooting myself in the fucking foot. Right.
Just like you'd spray yourself with bear spray.
Exactly.
Like you said, there are still bears. The island of Hokkaido alone is home to 12,000. And since 1962, there have been 150 recorded bear attacks, including 57 deaths and 112 injuries. Man. Just last year, 4 people were injured in attacks. And in 2021, 4 were killed while 10 were injured. Man. So while the horrors of Kasagake aren't likely to repeat it themselves, lightning doesn't strike the same spot twice most of the time.
Yeah.
It's very important that we remember just how dangerous bears can be, especially when they're hungry. So that is the horrible story of the Senkabetsu bear attack. And I'm so sorry to have told everyone.
Holy shit. That is wild.
Isn't that crazy?
A movie? How is that not a movie?
Well, I think there's like some, you know, probably like low budget Japanese films that, you know, they're not mainstream.
No blockbuster.
But it's not a mainstream story because both of us would have heard of it. No, yeah. Never heard of it. It's terrifying.
That is so terrifying.
I know. Like literal monster bear.
Yeah.
Like bear of your nightmares. Yeah. So not good.
Thank you for sharing it.
Yeah, you're welcome, I guess.
Fuck you for sharing it.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck me.
When I was a kid, my parents let me watch that movie, The Edge, is that what it's called, with Anthony Hopkins?
Oh, I haven't
seen it. There's like a grizzly stalking them in like the Alaskan wilderness. Oh, no.
I should watch that.
And it's very scary. I'm sure it probably still is today. Very much was when I was a child. And just kept thinking of this the whole time because it was like an angry, violent, stalking bear.
Well, I mean, when I think of bear stories, I think of like Grizzly Man, but like that guy was an idiot. Like he went and lived among the bears.
Actually, he is like a case study for the patience of grizzlies that he fucked with them for so many years. Like, wasn't it like 15 years or something?
Yeah, he would live up there for summers. He'd bring women with him like each summer.
So
and like,
stupid.
Dude, it was a matter of time.
Did you watch that documentary?
No, I didn't.
It's fascinating and very disturbing.
Yeah,
and
I want to. I've heard about the sounds that like the recordings of hearing it, and that just sounds horrible to me. Ugh.
Yeah, they don't play it in the documentary. They
you have to go onto YouTube to look for that.
They show a video of someone that he was close with listening to the recording of him dying and reacting to it.
That's pleasant.
I know.
Lord.
It's really haunting.
Like, yeah.
Why would you do that?
Don't play with Mother Nature like that way, man.
My dad has ridden his motorcycle to the Arctic Circle twice. Mm-hmm. And the first time they were in an SUV out somewhere and they saw a grizzly. And he's like, a pretty tough guy. My dad, he's like 6'4". He's a big guy.
Yeah.
Not easily frightened. And he's like, I was scared.
Yeah.
We were in an SUV and I was scared.
Oh my God.
And then the most recent time last year when he rode to the Arctic Circle, there was a grizzly in the road.
On their motorcycles.
Yeah.
And oh my God.
He was on his motorcycle.
No.
And he said he saw it and was like,
fuck.
And thankfully it heard their motorcycles coming and it just moved. It just got out of the way.
Play a motorcycle, ride a motorcycle, or play bad rap music.
Yes. Just scare them so that, like, scare them from far away so that you don't scare them from close up.
Exactly. I mean, you mentioning the, like, being scared in an SUV, they can fuck you up in a car. Like, there were multiple people in Skagway, I think last year, that the bears got into their car and then couldn't get out and just, like, fucked up the entire interior. Yeah, like,
totaled the vehicle.
Yeah. Like, they tell you not even to leave a can of beer in your car because the bears can smell it and will then try to get in. Like, their sense of smell is astounding.
Got good taste.
So listen to all the pro tips I gave you at the beginning. Be bear aware. Be smart. And if you run into a predatory bear, I really don't know what to tell you because that's just, you're fucked. That's it.
Yeah, like leave town. Don't stay there.
Yeah, get out of there. So
hug your children and then run for your life.
Yeah, as fast as you can. So.
That is wild. That is so scary.
Literally wild. Yeah.
I wasn't like that scared of bears before, but now I feel like there's a new intrusive new thought unlocked. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. No problem. My pleasure.
I have to remind myself that you have provided us with information on how to protect ourselves.
Unless it's predatory. I can't help you there.
Right.
Just get your automatic, like you said.
I guess, as has happened before in this podcast, I am suddenly pro-weapon. I'm pro-weapon for you when you live in a place where there are a lot of predators.
Yeah. I remember I was on a backpacking trip once and I saw a guy who had his pack on, and on his pack strap clipped was he had a gun right there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that's good for two reasons. You can kill the bear immediately. And if there's any rapists out, it's like, oh, I'm not going to fuck with that guy. He's got a gun right there. I'm like, backcountry makes total sense to have one of those.
Yes. Yeah. So. Anywhere else? Probably not. Yeah. Probably don't need
probably
it.
Probably not, yeah.
Well, statistically, you're just more likely to get hurt.
Yeah. On your own.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Stay out of the forest.
Yeah, man.
Don't keep leave your safe. Homes.
No.
And make sure you build your homes out of very strong
not out of
materials.
Grass. Yeah.
Not out of grass. If you have a house that's made out of grass, go stay with a friend.
Don't live in bear country.
Yeah.
Bad idea.
Terrifying. Have you ever heard of a spirit bear before?
Yeah. I think there was one seen in Skagway once or twice.
So they're like really important for like indigenous folklore in BC.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this place that you can go in the Great Bear Rainforest and see them.
The
and
Great Bear like, Rainforest?
Yeah, that's what they
have. That's so beautiful.
In BC, right? And they're really majestic. They're brown. I think they're black bears because they're not huge, but they have some weird genetic mutation. They're not albinos. They're just white.
They're
so they
pretty.
Look like polar bears, but they're small. And they're like a really big deal in BC. And I was like, man, that's like on my bucket list to see them. I've heard about them my whole life, but they're like hard to spot. But you can go to this like resort in the Great Bear Rainforest that's on indigenous land that's run by the tribe.
Oh,
and you
cool.
can go on these like tours. So it's all like done, I don't know, properly and respectfully and sustainably. So I was like, Matt, what do you think? Like, should we do that? Like, should we take Russ to go see?
Yes.
And then I go on their website and it's like $15,000 a person. I was like,
to go see the bears?
To go see the bears. To go like, and I think it includes like, I don't know if it's a float plane because it's an island.
Oh,
I think.
Yeah.
It's like so it's like your transport. It's like a whole thing and it's like catered, whatever. But I was like, that will be a bucket list situation.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that this summer.
I just realized I did not mean to do this. I'm wearing a shirt that says Made Wild. How fitting for this episode.
You're just an Alaskan gal now.
Apropos, I guess so.
It's just comes naturally to you.
Living it, living the dream. Hopefully not getting attacked by bears.
No, your house is made out of wood. You're fine.
Yeah, but I have glass windows. I wouldn't keep that motherfucker out. That's some scary shit.
You should probably just board them up.
I should just live in the dark in a hole
metal panels.
Real hermit status.
You should just live in like a panic room, essentially. Yes,
we all should. After press learning a button the things and, we like, have on this podcast.
Like metal like shutters come down over your windows. Actually, that'd be really
yes.
cool.
Yes, that would be cool.
Pretty, wild.
Pretty metal. Literally metal. Okay, do you have a missing woman to tell us about?
Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me.
You're welcome.
Okay. So it's just about the 2-year anniversary of this woman's disappearance, which is weird because I just selected her when I was scrolling through the FBI missing persons listings. So she was actually just recently in the news because they're about to come up on the 2-year anniversary of the last time that she was seen, and they're trying to sort of bring back interest. So this woman is named Raja McQueen, and she went missing from Cleveland, Ohio. She's a mom of 2.
Oh, no.
I think she was 27 at the time she was missing is what I read. And she was last seen June 26th of 2021. She was seen, I think, on a surveillance video, mm-hmm. driving her 2018 Nissan Sentra near a busy gas station around 7:30 in the morning on June 26th, 2021. And then hours later, city surveillance cameras picked up her car with bullet holes in it.
Oh, shit.
In the roof and in the rear passenger door, being driven by somebody else.
What?
Yeah. And with like a different like plates, like the plates had been swapped out. Like someone was clearly trying to disguise the car or like make it so that people couldn't realize that it was her car.
Oh shit.
And that's just that's basically it. Like that's all I could find about sort of the story.
Oh my God.
The FBI is offering a $25,000 reward for any information. And there are investigators who are still actively working on the case. But basically what they said is like, there are people involved who know what happened to her, who mm-hmm. know what happened to her car. And we basically are just going to count on those people to like come have the courage to come forward and talk to us. And that's basically that's going to be how we'll solve this case, essentially, is what they're saying.
And it's already 2 years out.
Isn't that so sad?
Yeah.
There's a tip line, 216-583-5383. And you can also submit tips anonymously online. But yeah, her name is Raja Adriana McQueen.
And did you give her description? I don't remember.
She's 5'6". She's a black female. She's got dark eyes. She weighed 133 pounds.
That's so sad.
Yeah, it says she has ties to the east side of Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, man.
Yeah, she's got kids waiting for her. I'm not sure. It didn't say how old they were, but... Yeah, so someone knows something. I know we always say that, but it's someone knows something.
Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have a good thing to lighten the mood here?
You know what? I'm just going to say that Ellie is my good thing. My little baby.
Sweet little baby. He's just making cute little baby noises and being adorable.
She just is smiling so much, and it just it just warms my heart every day, and it just makes me... just want to cry sometimes. It's so stinking cute.
Yeah. Is she sleeping any better?
Here's Auntie Haley.
Hi. Oh, no.
Like, rock that.
No. Oh, no, I'm so sorry. We just need to meet. You're going to like me more in person.
Yeah, you will. Yeah.
Right now, I represent mom not giving undivided attention. Yeah. So she's like, fuck that bitch.
That's some bullshit. She's just such a good thing.
This all started when you showed her my face. So.
Yeah, I literally did. It's okay.
Who was telling me that you can buy this like cushion thing that's like in the shape of like mom's arm? Like like a special pillow that's supposed to like simulate being held. Oh. Like, Lee should try that.
That sounds amazing. It sounds great.
I was like, well, I should buy that for her.
I started using, you know, I've used the Ergo, I've used the like Moby Wrap, and then yesterday I used the Sling for the first time, and that worked really well to get her to nap on me. But it like made my shoulder all fucked up. I think just the weird, so I have to figure out how to make, you know, do that better. But yeah, so, you know, we're two months in and love her. And I got the gas figured out. She doesn't have bad gas anymore because
yay.
I won't get into it here, but it's just been awesome. And I just love that
she's happier.
Yes. She has like happy wake windows and it's just
good.
It's she's nice to like enjoy her and her to enjoy life. And
totally.
You know, it's really nice. So what's your good thing?
We had a weekend of love. We went to a wedding on Saturday.
Yeah, those pictures were so cute. You looked beautiful.
It was really, thank you. It was really beautiful. It was like right on the Green River. And as soon as we like crossed over the Green River, I was like, Green River killer, Gary Ridgway. That's all I can think about. Like, are there bodies in the forest?
Yes.
And Matt's like, wow, Haley. That's where we go. It was really lovely. And then we had a bridal shower on Sunday morning for my friend Maria. And when I got home from the wedding on Saturday night, there was a gift at the front door. Matt's like, oh, there's a present for you. And I was like, oh, why is there a present for me? So I like open it up and it's a card that says, will you be my bridesmaid?
Oh, that's so nice. Like,
oh. And I was like, oh my God. And Matt's like, what? I was like, did you know about this? He's like, yeah, she texted me. And I was like, what?
Wow.
And
he's like the first secret you've ever not like,
well, no, then I'm like, oh my God, this is so, I can't believe it. And he's like, what? Like, what is it? And I was like, so I show him the card. He goes, oh no, no. I thought you meant, did I know that there was a present? Yeah. She texted me to make sure that you knew there was a present.
Oh my God.
I didn't know that she invited you to be her bridesmaid.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I was like, okay, yeah. Like, well, I wondered why you weren't reacting. Yeah. So
yeah.
That was really nice.
Do you know, I know.
You know her.
Yeah.
She bought a stained glass vachon from you.
Yes, I remember. Yeah, she's really
sweet. Which I love that like my friends all have ties to each other in this like fun way. So we've been like hanging out a lot lately and like become closer in like the past number of months, but like she already planned her bridal party a long time ago.
Aww.
And so she was like, I just like, we've become so close and I can't imagine you like not being up there with us on our wedding day. And I was like, oh my God, thank you so much.
So
I'm
nice.
So honored. Yeah. So now I like have big dreams of like starting to exercise so that I look nice.
You look
wedding.
Nice always. Shut
that
up.
That's very sweet of you, but.
That's very true. You don't need
we'll
to exercise.
We'll see if that happens.
When's
feels
the wedding?
Unlikely. September 9th.
Oh, that's not
so
far.
I've got time. Yeah.
Oh. Does she listen to the podcast?
I think so.
Oh, cool. Well, hi. Congratulations.
Thanks for being my friend.
Yeah. Thanks for replacing me.
No, in addition to.
Yeah. Okay.
It's good that I have a friend here now. Otherwise.
I wish I had one.
All my friends are men in their 60s and they're dropping like flies these days. So.
That happens. Just kidding. Sorry. I have friends here. Just none like you.
I will never have another
Thank
friend
you.
Like
I was,
you.
I was digging for that.
You are my one and only.
Please tell
bitch.
Me how much you love me.
Every me day I cry. I didn't want to tell you this because it is weird, but I do have an altar to you that I worship.
Praise Satan.
At.
Good.
I
as you
have
should.
An Alaska voodoo doll that I stab things in. I want it to go really poorly. So
that's why shit's
back.
Been going bad in the state.
Yes. Sorry, not sorry.
Good. Okay. Good. I feel better now. Thank you.
My violent means are justified by the happy ends.
Happy ending is for sure.
Happy. There'll always be a happy ending between us.
That's
hey,
true.
Yo. Well, before okay, it gets you. Any weirder.
Yep.
On my part.
Yeah. Do all the things.
It sounded like she said, hello. Our website is easybakecovenpodcast.com.
Sure is.
Our Instagram is easybakecovenpodcast.
Mm-hmm.
Our email address. You know what? Just message us on Instagram.
TheEasyBakePod@gmail.com. Also,
oh, there we go.
We have stickers and shit you can buy.
Oh, yeah, we got
a lot
merch.
Of them. So go onto our website, find it, or just shoot us an email or a message and we'll, you know, pay us and we'll
buy
send you
some,
one.
Buy some yeah. stickers to yeah. put on things.
And if enough of you buy shit, maybe we'll make some t-shirts someday.
Yes.
But you
a
have to want
crew
it.
Crew neck sweatshirt.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Leave us a rating or a review.
Oh, yeah.
Tell your friends if you enjoy our podcast.
Yep.
Rate us.
Tell us how
tell
much you love
friends.
Us. Post about us on Reddit if you can.
Oh, yeah.
Because we can't do it ourselves.
No
self.
There's
self,
no self-promotion.
Yeah, which is some bullshit, but, you know.
Just get the word out there.
We ourselves everywhere else, but you have to help.
Friends
Thank you.
Of the pod.
Please.
Cast.
Yes. All right, friends. As always, don't forget to keep it spooky
and make it sweet.
Happy haunting!